just want the silver bullet, right? There is no silver bullet, but there is, there absolutely is silver buckshot. If you've never been shooting or quail hunting, you know, buckshot is a spray of massive pellets over a larger range. And it's true. If you consistently do many things over a long period of time, you can make a heck of a lot of money.
Hey guys, welcome to the CRE Project Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to today's show. Super amped, we have Rod Santomassimo on the show with us today. If you don't recognize him by his unique name, Rod is a best-selling author, a speaker, and a very well-known commercial real estate consultant. He's the founder of the Massimo Group. The mission of the Massimo Group is to assist independent contractors, solopreneurs, and small business owners in transforming their business and ultimately their lives. He's had his career for 35-plus years. Rod has been an IT consultant, a CEO of a public telecom firm, a CFO of a regional law firm, a senior executive of an international commercial real estate firm, and he's also started his own brokerage firm. He's been involved in lacrosse and is a patented inventor. So very dynamic individual. And through all the trials and tribulations of all these different careers, he developed different methods that he's used and executed to create a multi-million dollar coaching business known as the Massimo Group. Just this information is just packed with information. Very insightful individual, very experienced individual. We hope you all enjoy. Here we go. Rod, thanks so much for being here today. Super excited to have you on the show. Obviously, you're a very well-recognized, very, very well-respected veteran and coach in the commercial real estate field. So welcome to the CRE Project Podcast.
Thank you. You guys are stoked. I'm stoked. So it's pretty cool.
So we give obviously our listeners a little bit of a brief background on who you are and what your accomplishments are, but we'd really like to hear from you, you know, how you got started in commercial real estate, because it's usually one of those fields that's just, people don't just fall into it. There's always seems to be some sort of intent or a family history. And then if you can kind of give us a little bit of perspective on your biggest accomplishments and then also how you kind of moved into the coaching area.
Sure. You're absolutely correct. In my case, it was a family element that brought me in to commercial real estate. My father was a consultant for landlords on a building asset side. And that was the entrepreneurial flavor that I had. And so my summer jobs were always cleaning up crap in commercial real estate, being a gopher, running around construction sites. I mean, and then later on that led to, you know, when I think I was 12 years old, he said, okay, Rod, I want you to read this. And he threw me a stack of paper and it was a lease. I'm 12 years old, go play baseball or play lacrosse with him. He said, no, read this. This is what business is all about. Now, he's right, by the way. You know, he was right. Understanding a lease helps you understand business. So yeah, he pushed me into that entrepreneurial work for yourself mode and real estate. But I'll tell you this, when I went off to Duke for my grad years, I just had this conversation this recently with someone else. I told him point blank, hey Dad, I love you. I will never ever work in commercial real estate.
Really?
So what happened was, of course, I got my MBA, and all MBAs, you got to go to New York. I was born and raised in New York. You got to go to New York, you know, work for a big firm. And I did, a big consulting firm. And they walked me in my first year, my anniversary, said, Rod, you're getting the highest raise. You've done the best of all your colleagues. And I looked at them and I said, I quit. And they said, what do you mean you quit? And I said, I hate this. I hate coming in, working my butt off, and I'm a peon, and I knew it. It was that thing. And they were shocked. I said, look, I just got an offer for a startup real estate firm in Florida, and I was in New York at the time. They're going to pay me half as much, and I think I'm going to enjoy it more. And I was absolutely correct. I loved, once I moved to that new first ever real estate job, that I realized this is a lot better.
How far were you into that new opportunity when you said, yeah, you know, I was correct. I mean, this is better. Was it the time freedom? Was it the flexibility? Was it being able to be involved in more aspects of deal making? What was it you think that was so attractive for you?
You know, I was blessed in that I had and it's just, again, this is a family thing. Like a lot of relationships, things that worked out in my career. My father mentored someone named Bruce Lauer, who is still active today, unbelievably. And then Lauer offered me a position in his startup firm, and he agreed to mentor me. And so that meant he gave me responsibility day one. I knew how to read leases from my Duke days. I knew how to run numbers. And the second week on the business, the Travelers, old insurance, large insurance conglomerate, knocked on our door and said, hey, Bruce, we need someone who knows how to read a lease and can run numbers. And we like them to represent us throughout the Southeast. And Bruce said, I got somebody. And I didn't know Jack, but he held my hand the entire way. And that was it. That was why it was so exciting.
Yeah, sometimes it's trial by fire, you know, in the industry. And that's the best way to learn. You fail forward and you make mistakes and you stub your toe and you get better for it. So.
Yep, that's it. That's absolutely it. In regards to how I got into coaching, you know, before I started coaching, I was now an executive vice president with a firm called Sperry Van Ness. Uh-huh. I was operating out of California. My wife and kids were in North Carolina. I was going back and forth. I wasn't enjoying that part of it. And yet my income was capped. And I took that, and a lot of listeners will understand this. There are different economic cycles along the path. And there was one where I needed to get a job. And I went back and forth between owning my own stuff, getting a job. So I got a job at Sperry Van Ness. That went extremely well. Great people there. I still consider the leaders really close friends. But when the market obviously stalled in 2000, if we can say stalled, let's say hit a brick wall in 2007-08, you know, Mark Van Ness said to me, Rob, I'm going to let you go. Appreciate what you did, but we're going to let you go. And I said, you know, it's like I said to the folks in my first consulting gig, I said, thank you very much. I'm out of here. I can't wait, because I knew I was didn't never want to work for anyone again. And that was a big moment. I made the decision, no matter what I do, I will never work for someone again. And so a couple weeks into it, this is corny as hell, and this is the way it is, and this is the truth. I had a dream that I started a coaching company.
Now
understand this. 2008. So I'm going to coach people, how to be more successful and survive this. We had no idea how long this was going to be. And no one had any money to invest in coaching or invest in themselves. So I told my wife, I woke up and said, honey, I think I'm going to start helping people with a coaching idea, and I'll figure it out. And she, God bless her, she said to me, go for it. See what you can do. And frankly, there were no jobs to be found. So it didn't matter if I wanted to get a job. So it was really entrepreneur. They talk about this in the book, The E-Myth. You know, I was an entrepreneur by necessity this time. Yep. And so I just started my own coaching company, and it was just me. The Massimo Group was Rod Santamassimo and a 6-foot folding table, right? Yeah. And look, things worked out really well. Today we have 30 coaches and hundreds of clients across the globe now. It's really amazing. So you asked me my biggest accomplishment, it would be to take this concept of, hey, I think I could do this, right? And then actually making it happen. And I know today, you know, 11 years later, I'll look back 11 years from now and go, God, were we small in 2020? We were tiny. I know that. So that's pretty cool. So I'm excited about that.
It's a great outlook. So obviously, you know, this is an extremely competitive field. In brokerage and in certain markets, and you've obviously worked in some very competitive markets. And again, giving your background on coaching, you obviously have a lot of exposure to several different personalities and several different individuals getting into the business. What do you feel like is the magic recipe for just a really good broker? And what are the most important traits one should have when getting into commercial real estate brokerage, in your opinion?
That's a great question. And yeah, there are traits. You know, I wrote about traits in my first book, Brokers Who Dominate. There's an acronym, the 8 traits of top producing brokers. But when you're just breaking into the business, one habit you have to have, and I alluded to this earlier, was, you know, I had this mentor, Bruce Lauer. You got to get a mentor. If you're just starting out, if you say, I'm going to do this, don't figure it out. Get yourself a mentor. And look, you may get paid less. You may start getting little deals and getting, you know, just a little exposure to what you need to. So number one, get a mentor. Number two, and I know those young folks out there, they may be following our latest marketing guru, Gary Vaynerchuk, or Gary V, as he's known as. And I actually spent a day with Gary and his team to learn about their ways. But Gary preaches, and I believe this, patience. Commercial real estate is not a quick fix. Commercial real estate, you're not going to have a banner year, more likely than not, your first couple of years. It's patience. So get a mentor, get some patience, and figure out a process. Last but not least, you have to recognize 2 really important variables. I don't care if you're new to the business or a seasoned veteran, this is true. Number one, you're an independent contractor, so you're your own boss. You have a business now. You're not an employee. You can't look around and look for help, most likely. You have to run your business like a business, and that's critical. So what that means is there's no 9-to-5 when you're starting out. There's just not. When I start the Massimo Group, and not to say you need to go this route, but it was working 16, 17 hours a day. You know, back then I was in my late 40s. You know, I think it's crazy. I was doing that, you know, and then sleeping, waking up, doing it. And if you're going to start out and be successful, you got to get that cadence. Secondly, this is true for everybody. You will realize, as soon as you realize this, the more successful you will be, just the way it is. Everyone thinks they have a great client. Like if I ask you guys, you know, who's, and I'm not going to put you on the spot here, but I've asked you guys, hey, tell me who your best client is. Who's your number one client? Now, if you ask me, you know, the wrong me would say, wow, my best client today is Bob Knackle. Bob's a top producing broker, one of the top in the world. He gives me more referrals than anybody else. Yeah, he pays me more than anybody else, right? But he is my best client, and I'd be wrong. And this is why. Your best client, no matter what, will always be yourself. It just will be. No client will ever make more money for you than you. And until you accept that and realize that and treat yourself in that way to recognize, I don't need to answer the phone. I don't need to do this. You know what? My time is more valuable. When you get to that point, your business will flourish. It just will. So no matter how important clients are, and they're all really important, you will always be, no client will ever make more money for you than you. Just understand that, even when you're just starting out.
That's a great point. And I am trying to learn how to say no in my business at this point too, and be very protective of my time. And Bob's podcast on your show was great. Wasn't he your first guest on your show?
I mean, purposely he was our first guest.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal show. I loved that one. So.
Yeah. And so Bob, so you might've caught, and this is true, you know, and Bob doesn't mind me sharing this newbies, just do not focus on the numbers, never focus on the magnitude, focus on the concepts. So when Bob invited me to his office, say, you know what, I don't know about this, I never heard of coaching. I'd love to hear more about you, Rod. I was like, I told him, what the hell am I going to do for Bob Knackle? The dude was making $6 million a year, you know? So what am I going to do for him? So I went to his office and I sat by him and I watched what he did for 2 days. And I was like, okay, Rod, just write everything down and figure out what he's doing. And, you know, you can repackage everything. And I was completely wrong. I couldn't believe how much money he was leaving on the table. It was shocking to me. He wasn't doing certain things you need to do to really grow your business. So the time we spent together, 6 million, 8 million, 12 million, 15 million, 20 million at the height of what he made. And then the market in New York has really tumbled. So he's not back down to that. He's not at the $20 million figure anymore, but he's making more money than 99.9% of the brokers. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But that's the point. there are certain things you just take for granted that you should be doing that you're not doing. There's always, always an opportunity to grow your business. There just is.
I'm just curious, Rod, how do you factor in, because just the people that we've been exposed to in the business, and again, I know you've been exposed to a lot of different personalities, but how do you solve for people that are just passionate about what they do?
When you say, help me just take, I want you to expand on that more so I can understand the question better.
So it seems like a lot of times, you know, people get into the business because obviously there's flexibility from a owning your own business standpoint. And obviously there's always good money to be made if you do it correctly and you execute appropriately. It seems like the trait that I often see the most in brokers that struggle is just for their lack of passion to actually be interested in the commercial real estate field. It seems like they're doing it just for monetary purposes. So I'm just curious, do you run into that a lot with a lot of people that are getting into the business? And how do you, I don't know if coach is the right word or mentor is the right word, but what do you tell people that are getting into the business as far as being passionate about what you do? Because to your point, you know, it's a tough industry and it takes a long time. And, you know, we always call the first year of the business kind of Death Valley, you know? So, I mean, you really get tested these first couple of years. So,
well, I got some good news for those who are getting into the business. Wow, what an incredible time to get in the business. It just is, right? And I don't care if you're even a seasoned veteran. And this is not a political statement in any way, shape, or form. I never talk about politics, but I will say this. There is no better time right now to be an entrepreneur from an economic policy perspective or a tax perspective. If you truly understand the tax code, what's going on today, you could really make a lot of money. You could. It's amazing with the tax code, whether we like it or not, if you understand it. So great time to get in the business. As far as, I'm gonna answer your question in a roundabout way. You asked me, you know, some of the mid-career guys, they lose that passion, and they do. They get stuck. In fact, that is one of our avatars. We call them Peter Plateau, also known as Peter Feel Stuck, right? And we named it after a gentleman I went, you know, years ago. I'm fortunate enough now, I don't answer sales calls or I even do sales anymore for the company. But years ago when I was answering phone calls, some seasoned veteran, mid-career, called me up and I said, can I ask you why you think you need coaching? His exact words were, those damn kids are taking my market share.
Tell me how you really feel, huh?
And I said, well, expand on that. What do you mean by that? And he said, well, you know, they're tweeting, they're twatting, they're thising, they're zatting. I know what the hell they're doing, but they're taking my market share. And I will be honest, I'm always on. I kind of giggled over there. Yeah. And he went, that's not funny, Rod. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's not funny. It isn't funny. It isn't. So by the way, that gentleman became a client. He's now blogging and vlogging and posting and tweeting. he's gotten his market share back. But if you're a kid and you understand the value of attention, you know, I know Vaynerchuk says we trade on attention. You can absolutely, look, I don't mind, you follow a client of ours, a kid, Matthew Laborde. He's down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. 3 years ago, he was nothing. Now he absolutely dominates that market. And he's built his team with nothing but young kids, very professional, you know, suits, ties, classy as heck, love them. They follow the program and they just really leverage social media. Social media is not the end all, but patience, passion, yes, but use it correctly. Look, it's really, you can go in and create your mark in today's marketplace when done correctly.
One of my follow-up questions for you down the road in the show, and we're already there, is how has technology changed from the time you got into the industry to now? And that's clearly, I think, the front runner is social media. Are you seeing that more and more in the major metros also, and even with the established brokers? Is that something that is necessary in your eyes?
Well, you guys are too young to even know this. Okay, so back when I was working for Bruce Lauer and we were representing the Travelers, and they had, you know, locations across the Southeast, and we did a search for locations to consolidate space. I remember vividly sitting in the office late at night with these little red rub-on dots and a map I would Xerox, and just rubbing in the dots where all the locations were, and then doing this brand new thing called Excel and creating spreadsheets and putting them in. So how technology changed? I would tell anyone today, you have no idea how easy it is. You know, running down to a freaking payphone to try to call a prospect who didn't show up for a tour, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, things we wouldn't even think about.
You wouldn't even think about. You just whatever, right? Grabbing quarters so you can make your calls. You know, you guys have no idea how hard it was. But anyway, back when I would walk to the office in 5 foot of snow and back and forth uphill on the face. So, there's no doubt. Look, technology itself, just the communication platforms, technology, the cell phones, smartphones have changed everything. Apps, looking at maps, having an iPad during a tour and showing things in a virtual, it's just completely different. But it only is good. Technology is great. I mean, it is. It absolutely is. And you have to leverage it to keep up with the Joneses besides setting yourself apart. Yeah. But yeah, now that we have this thing called social media, and remember, I remember, Gannon, that when I met Bob Knackle, he told me, Rod, I want to share one thing with you and remember this and don't forget it. It is that we are not in the real estate business. And I said, well, you know, I'm a real estate coach, so you better help me understand what the hell business I'm in. And he said, no, Rod, we're in the information business.
So that's one of my favorite lines, and I have taken that with me, and I use it regularly. So thank you for that. I'll give you credit for the
original. Wait, don't give me credit yet.
Okay,
all
right.
I announced at our live event in November with him sitting next to me live, Bob, you're wrong. You're wrong. And he was like, he was not happy. So we're live in a live event. We're live streaming across the world. I said, Bob, in retrospect, that was true. That was true 8 years ago. Today, we are in the marketing business. That's the business we're in. If you differentiate yourself from, because why do the kids steal that guy's damn market share, those damn kids? Why? They figured out how to market better than he did. That's how. So sadly, this is sad. You could be more experienced, you could be smarter, you could be more successful at a point, but unless you can grab the attention of the marketplace, truly grab the attention, you're gonna be left behind. So I'm gonna share with everyone, look, yes, information is key. You gotta know what you're doing. But if you can articulate that and market it and get it out to your audience, you're gonna be left behind, just the way it is.
Well, and that's an argument that I have consistently with a lot of the older brokers, and I'm sure you encounter this quite often, is I think they have a hard time solving, Rod, for like quantifiable data of how social media is going to provide direct income to them. And, you know, as I explained to them, A, it's a growing segment of the market. B, you got to do it to still stay relevant. But C, it's an awesome tool just to maintain relationships as well. So I'm curious from your perspective, what would you say, because I know you've probably encountered that exact reaction before. Do a post. How is that going to get me a deal? You know, I make a podcast. How's that going to make me more money? You know, what would you say to those guys that may be struggling taking that leap?
Well, there's two perspectives, right? One is I'm a seasoned veteran, I'm older. I got my clients, I got my relationships. Look, they're not going anywhere. So I'm not really concerned about new relationships. Well, if that's true, then okay, I could say, okay, you're gonna retire soon, just go that route. If your relationships start though, however, to be influenced by others, and they're seeing others out there that have a presence that you don't, and they're gonna say, you know, how can I list my billing with you when you're invisible and no one knows of you? Now we got a problem. We got a real, real problem. So when you think of ROI, I can absolutely tell you, because we just started in the last year, we're investing heavily in Facebook and LinkedIn ads. We went all in. I mean, we went six figures all in with Facebook, LinkedIn ads, and they can track who you're talking to, who's converting, and our ROI is absolutely there. It absolutely is. Not only that, organically, LinkedIn, so look, I'm telling you, if you guys aren't on LinkedIn, any of your audience, that's where you need to be. And lastly, for the seasoned veterans, this is a perfect thing for you, because who has more content than you?
Nobody. And going back to Gary Vee doesn't say create, he says document, right? So document. You're already out there doing it anyways, so have some type of way to document that, and then you can share it on all of these multiple platforms and really try to be efficient with it too.
And look, and this is, I tell anybody. So look, you're a seasoned veteran. So let me do a quick, how to create content in 1 minute and get it out on every social post. This is exactly how. So you pick up your cell phone for the videos, and you pick up your cell phone, right? You take an app like Otter AI, OTTER AI, which by the way is owned by Google. So whatever you say, just understand Google's going to own it, right? But it's a free app. So you take Otter AI and you put a video on your phone and you video yourself answering a question or challenge your clients are currently having, right? And right now, down in this recent rezoning of this, or you know, the recent tenant movement or whatever it is, finance, refinance brokers, mortgage brokers, property managers, talk about it for 1 minute. Just talk about that thing for 1 minute. And so now what do you have? I have audio through Otter. I have video through my phone. I have text because it transcribed it through Otter. I just take that one file that I've created and I send it to someone, and don't worry about this. There's a million someones out there. There are that you're going to pay anywhere between $3 an hour if they're in India or Philippines, or $20, $30 an hour if they're in the United States. It's up to you. By the way, I will tell you right now, the folks in India and Philippines are fan-freaking-tastic. So don't worry about that. If they steal your stuff, they might, but what do you care? So you can't do anything about it. Yeah. And so next thing you know, you have vlogs, blogs, tweets that are posted on LinkedIn, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, right? Everywhere.
Clay, this is really good information. I don't know if we should go public with this. Maybe we should just keep it. Yeah. Just kidding. We have an abundance mindset here. That's phenomenal.
There is no excuse. There is no excuse to say it takes me too long to create content. Those days are gone. They're just gone.
So I'm curious, and if you don't mind elaborating a little bit, but what do you feel is the importance for LinkedIn?
Well,
because I've heard, you know, again, we're all fans of Gary Vee here, you know, and he's obviously pushing LinkedIn hard right now as well.
He's pushing TikTok hard right now.
Oh, he's pushing TikTok really hard. I'd be curious to hear your opinion on that as well. But LinkedIn, you know, being a business platform, and again, it's one of those platforms that, you know, I don't want to say the older crowd, but the veterans seem to be more accepting of than a lot of these other platforms like Snapchat or Facebook, et cetera. So what's the importance and the validity behind LinkedIn?
Well, LinkedIn is definitely the most, it just is. It's the most professional of the platforms. It's, you know, originally started, we all know it's a job search board, right? But it, without a doubt, it is definitely the most professional. Facebook is very social. And if you can gravitate to Facebook and create Facebook groups, which are really pushing now, and create your own community, that's a whole different level of where to get presence. But LinkedIn in itself is the most professional platform. And look, you guys, you know, though I'm a coach, you have to understand that every year I invest tens of thousands of dollars in getting coached myself. That is the thing in fact, as the timing of this recording, I'm evaluating which coaches I'll have next year. I just, because every year I want to change it up and figure out what I'm going to do because I think it's different. But I got a LinkedIn coach. Absolutely. Got a LinkedIn coach. Said, how do I get LinkedIn? How do I get leads? Let me know. And the three keys she shared here is this. Number one, you got to connect. Right. By the way, folks, you don't need to do this yourself. Other people do this for you. You have to then, of course, cultivate, right? You cultivate the relationship, asking questions, you know, very, very simple to do. And then finally, you close. I will tell you, we have gained many, many clients, they should be called the members, many, many members this year through my conversations on LinkedIn. And I don't mind sharing with you, I didn't have any of those freaking conversations myself, not one. I paid someone, it was $10 an hour to have conversations every day with my LinkedIn followers and create contacts. That's all I did, you know? 1 hour, do the math, right? $10 an hour, 1 hour a day, every day, 20 days a month, $200 a month, $200 a month to build relationships, cultivate. And yeah, when the conversation got to the point where they would say, hey, Rod, I can't take this, they would tell me in a list, you need to contact these people. And I would at night, I'm not a TV watcher. I would at night, you know, on my Surface or MacBook, just go, bam, 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 you know, make the communication. And then you get clients, you build trust, right? And you post activities to LinkedIn and you make sure it's more professional than Facebook. You know, Facebook, you say, hey, check out this latest video. in LinkedIn, you say, recently I interviewed with Clayton and Gannon and blah, blah, blah. And that, so they're like, okay, that's more professional. So it works. It absolutely works.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then my just to dovetail off of that, but you mentioned Facebook ads as well, which is something that I've been experiencing or experimenting with this last year. And I'm curious to hear from you, what has been the most effective route for you to take as far as Facebook ads? Where have you seen the biggest return? And I guess just to dive a little deeper into that, you know, do you do forms? Do you do landing page? I mean, what do you see works the best? Because it sounds like you've done several different strategies there.
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout out to Katie because, and this is really important, guys. Look, I'm 56 years old. I don't know squat about social media. I don't. You know, I thought Facebook was a place you went to check out how your ex high school girlfriend was doing today. I had no idea what it was. Right. So your mentors, understand everyone, your mentors, young folks, you don't know this, your mentors have to be younger than you. They just have to be in when it comes to this, right? My first mentor was a 23-year-old girl from China who taught me how to do Facebook. She was. My current mentor is a 25-year-old girl in New Jersey. Now, she's so freaking incredible. I actually pay her a significant amount of money because she's so, you don't have to do that, but your mentor should be younger than you. So Katie went out and she can place ads and look at different ways. I mean, yes, we do landing pages and yes, we do forms and yes, we A/B split test everything, messages, pictures. We test everything to see what works, right? So there's no way to say this works because you have to know what your message is.
Correct.
And what your audience is to say, hey, this is the best for my audience. For what we do, we have three avatars, as I said earlier, Ned Newby, Peter Plateau, and Bob Topper. And those three avatars, we have three different messages for. By the way, they could be Nancy Newby, Paula Plateau, and Betty Topper. It doesn't, but so we know what messages and even images. So for example, we have found for our male audience, what image do you think resonates the best?
Women.
Women. Now, the sad part is women only make up, in fact, we just launched a new company called Massimo Elevate just for women. But women, because it drives me crazy. It drives me crazy that and this is a middle-aged white guy saying this, that commercial real estate is a middle-aged white guy industry. It just drives me bats. But yeah, when we put out pictures of attractive women, you can have your own vision of attractiveness, whatever it might be. We get more responses from those ads than we do for some old middle-aged, you know, guy having success.
Yeah.
So yeah. You just got to know your audience. That's what it is.
Rod, have you guys done anything with funnels yet? Funnels are you know, fantastic. And I've had some experience in that, but if you haven't, I'm just lobbing that out there for you to.
Absolutely. Look, we use a software, which is heavy automation. It's called Infusionsoft.
Sure.
So we've used it for, now I understand in the market, it's also known as Confusionsoft, which is absolutely true. Do I have an Infusionsoft coach? Yes. Do I hire someone that just does Infusionsoft? Yes. Do I know anything about Infusionsoft? Not a damn thing. But I do know this. We interact our Infusionsoft with our marketing funnels. And yes, we go through funnels to bring folks. Look, think about this. Now, I know what you say. Say you're saying, hey, I want to give you the top 10 things you need to know about before you lease that new space or before you expand or before you move or before you refinance. That's a funnel. That's a funnel, right? Value, 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 value. And then if they convert, there's an ask. By the way, I think that's an important piece. I know we're talking about Facebook and LinkedIn and ROI on marketing. This is all presence elements. This is one thing that, in fact, if you want to know the one thing that Bob Knackle, of all the things we share with him, he has one thing on his desk. This is the one thing. This is the only thing of everything we share with Bob that he actually prints out and puts on his desk. And this is this. And yes, I have an MBA from Duke University. And yes, this makes no sense at all. So just go with me here. So P plus P plus P equals P cubed. P plus P plus P equals P cubed. You're both looking at me like I'm an idiot. That makes no mathematical sense. And I agree with that. It doesn't. But it works. And it's true because we're a coaching company. So we track every number of all our clients. I'm an anal nut. I am. And every year I rerun the numbers, see who's making the most money, why they're making the most money. And this is the fact. First P is your value proposition. Do you have a strong value proposition for that market you're going after? Can you really articulate the benefit of why I'm gonna work with you? P number one, and in this order, it has to be in this order. P number two, your presence. What's your market presence? Do you have a dominating market presence, right? That comes before purposely the third P, which is your prospecting, your targeted prospecting campaign. Because if all you do is focus on your presence, by the way, you think about it, presence, marketing, prospecting, sales, right? Don't forget, I told you all, you're the CEO of your own companies. Presence is your marketing division. Prospecting is your sales division. Understand that, okay? So what we found is when you put those three together, the exponential result, that's why it's cubed, is exponentially more pitches, more presentations, and exponentially more production than our other members when they consistently do these three things and do them often and well. So that's the one thing that Knackle has. He always reminding himself. In fact, I have a call with Knackle every week. So this week he said, you know, Rod, next, we're not gonna tell you what campaign we're doing next month, but we started talking about, here's the message, value prop. Here's the campaign around it, the presence. Here's how we're gonna ask for the business. And that's what my point is. You can be famous and have all the presence in the world. And I know a lot of brokers who are really famous and you know them. They're not making a lot of money. They're not. Because they're sitting there waiting for those tweets and vlogs and everything else to bring the money in. That's not how it works. It's just not. You know, back to Gary Vee, who wrote the bestseller, Jab, 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 Right Hook.
Mm-hmm.
You got to throw that right hook. You have to ask for the business. You have to consistently ask for business. If you don't, congratulations, you're known by everybody. Even your banker who's calling on your loan. But you're not rich. You're not wealthy. So,
and Rod, you know, in that same train of thought, how much of your coaching in your platform does setting a routine, having a habit, creating good habits come into play? Is that important? Do you have habits and routines in your life personally that you use? Can you speak to that to our listeners?
First, I'll share with you our coaching and then why we changed it up, because we found something out in the first couple of years. In fact, we changed. So look, there are five pillars to a successful business: commercial real estate, refinance, insurance sales. It doesn't matter. There are five key functions, right? First is your productivity, how you write habits, how you run your day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in any order, but actually there is an order here. Second is your marketing, your presence, your prospecting, your sales, right? Your presentations, because of the Massimo Group and the clients and breadth we have, I actually have seen every presentation in probably the top 25 companies and hundreds of presentations of everyone else. I see what everyone says. By the way, it's all the same crap. It is. So, and it is, it's ridiculous. And third, of course, is your partners or your team. We call them the five Ps, your partners or your team. What we found as in our coaching methodology is that you have to complete each one of these major pillars before we can move on. So it's just by nature, everyone who joined us said, I want to start with prospecting. I want to win more business. And so we did initially. What we found out was people start to say, I don't have the time to do all this. I don't have the time for that. So we changed everything and said, you know what? The first thing we have to do mandatory is productivity. Understanding what you do every day, how you do it, the habits, getting productivity down. And we found out once we did that change, our clients' income went way up. Because look, people ask me all the time, Gannon, people ask me all the time, hey, Rod, give me the one thing I need to do to make more money, right? Give me the one thing to maximize my income.
Magic thing, yeah.
And you and I are cracking up going, yeah, if you could tell me that, let's just
stop
the podcast now and let's move forward.
I just want the easy button.
Yeah. I just want the silver bullet, right? There is no silver bullet, but there absolutely is silver buckshot. And if you've never been shooting or quail hunting, you know, buckshot is a spray of massive pellets over a larger range. And it's true. If you consistently do many things over a long period of time, you can make a heck of a lot of money. So one of the first things I talk about, and I said, okay, I can't keep the silver bullet, but you know, the first thing I would look at, and to your point, is this. So Gannon, I'd say, Gannon, let me see your calendar. Send me your calendar. Send me your Outlook, your Gmail. Send me your calendar for next week. Let me take a look at it. I can tell you right now if you can make money or not, just from that alone, right? So yeah, you need to structure your day, allocate certain buckets for certain things, leave a lot of white space for the whirlwind and chaos that's gonna happen in our lives. We know that. But if you can't send me your calendar every week and you're not structured, again, who's your best client, Gannon? Who's your best client?
Me.
That's right.
Gannon.
If you can't control for Gannon, right? I was on the phone with Tom Ziegler last week. Tom Ziegler is the son of Zig Ziegler. So for those who don't know Zig Ziegler, your kids need to Google that. probably the father of sales, motivation, coaching, and Tom's been the CEO of that company for almost 30 years now. But Tom says, I'm very clear to me, look, we cannot manage time. We cannot manage time. I think it was Tom, I want to get this right. But what we can do is we can control ourselves and the activities we choose to make over a certain time period. That's what we can control. So yeah, we look at productivity and yeah, there are habits. And the number one habit I'm gonna tell you is, besides all those I talk about in my books, is, hey, how are you controlling your time? Let me see it. And then we know how we can make more productive. And you said earlier, by the way, I didn't mention this, I know I'm going long here, I apologize. One of the first things you said to yourself, Gannon, one of the first things we did with Bob Knackle, okay, I want you to tell other people in your market no 3 times a week. Because Knackle was so popular, he was a yes man. I'll speak anywhere, I'll speak to anyone, I'll do this. I said, you're not making any money, Bobby. You know, let's come back, please. So big move for him was saying no 3 times a week. And he had struggled with that early on, but now he loves it.
I think it's just so important. I mean, prioritizing time is everything. And I feel like, you know, that is a lesson that has to be learned. And we see new brokers do this all the time where, you know, like you said, they're yes individuals and they take on all these listings that are overpriced or not worth the time. And then, you know, like you said, everybody knows you because your signs are all over town, but you're not making money and you're not enjoying life because you're working 70 hours a week. You have 70 landlords that are calling you, asking for reports and so on and so forth. It's just, it's truly working smarter.
Absolutely. I mean, we had one client, he's on our website, so we can mention his name, Bo Beery. He was working 70 hours a week, beautiful wife, beautiful, two beautiful boys, never saw them. He had 115 listings. So he took him into the fold and he went down to 60 listings and he doubled his income, right? Yep. And then every year since then, he continues to grow his income. And he's a top producer in his national company. But you're right. One thing we did, and for everyone out there, I don't care if you're new to the business or not. Now, new to business is a little different. You're taking every deal you can because you just want to get the experience. But for those who are not new to the business, if you do not have a scorecard or a filter to say, is this a deal I want to take? Stop right now and not now. Listen to this entire podcast because it's absolutely amazing what's going to happen next. But after this podcast, you need to create your own just scorecard or filtration system for what I want to work on. It's going to change your life. It will.
Yeah, it's important. It just is to prioritize. And again, that's something that immediately when I did that in my business, you know, you see a lot higher ROI. You just do every single time. And you get to spend more time with your family and loved ones. And
you have to have fun.
Yeah, exactly. And ultimately, enjoy your work more because you're working on stuff that matters and that you care about and that you're passionate about. So what I'm just curious if you can give some of our listeners, can you give them some tips on time management? I mean, you know, I know that there's a lot of different methods, but is there something that you use specifically or that you advise people to use, whether it's time blocking or some other, you know, form? What do you use typically for time management?
Well, what we use is called an IPAID method, IPAID, okay, IPAID. And so the problem is, look, especially this audience, me, you know, everyone, we talk to a client, we sign a listing, we start marketing a deal. We're not getting paid that day. When's the last time you guys signed a listing and got paid the same day? It generally doesn't happen, right? No. In fact, what happens, it happens months, not weeks, months, sometimes years since the activity you put in. And then what happens then is after you get paid, are you excited? No, you're relieved. You know, instead of celebrating, you're like, oh, thank God that's over, right? think about it, right? There's no reward for your effort in this business. There's not in that realm. So we got to figure out a way for you to get paid every day that you can ask yourself every day, was I paid? And if you can say yes to this framework, then guess what? You're going to make money, a lot of money. So very simple. Number one, identify. Identify what needs to be done. By the way, you're not allowed more than 10 items, period. 10 items and no more than 3 priorities. Everything else doesn't matter. And I know you can say, well, I got 30. Well, if you get everything done, you could believe me, there's always things to do, right? Yeah. So number one, identify. Number two, prioritize. Again, I said earlier, you got 3 priorities. Those 3 priorities should be working in your business, transaction, personal, kids soccer game, whatever, right? And third, and most important, not most, but as important, working on your business. If you're stuck in doing deals, nothing but deals, we call that transaction treadmill, you're growing nowhere. You aren't. You think you are and you're not. So 3 buckets, priorities, working in, working on, and your family, right? Or if you have a family, you're just like, go ahead and fun, right? So identify, prioritize. A is the piece we just talked about. Allocate. Go to your calendar, allocate. This hour, prospecting. This hour, networking. This hour, touring. This hour, whatever, right? Allocate. Don't allocate your entire calendar. Have a lot of white space. That is critical to you. Hardest part of all, of course, I implement. You mean I got to do it?
Amen.
You got to do it. You gotta have the discipline to yourself to know that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. And if you know that you are your best client, if you believe that and truly live with that, then when you're on your prospecting hour and you're calling everybody and you look at your cell phone and all of a sudden your best client you believe calls, you say to yourself, no, I'll get back to him. Or you pick up the phone and say, look, I'm in a meeting right now, because you are in a meeting with your best client, which is you. Can I call you back in 30 minutes? They're always going to say yes.
Yep.
They are, right? So that implementation is critical. And then the last D is either to delete, not doing it, didn't get to it, or delegate, which I strongly believe in. I mean, the reason I have grown as I have, both from a business side and, financial side, is I delegate almost everything. So I invest heavily in people because that's how I grew my business. Delegate. I used to say, guys, you say, oh yeah, and the other D, of course, is defer. What I found was the more I defer things, the next day, I'll do it tomorrow, then tomorrow, it became a demotivator. It was a failure. It was a sign of failure when I deferred something.
Sure.
So I took that D off the plate. You can't defer anymore.
Just delegate. Got it.
Or delete.
That's a good point. Yep.
You know, put on your not to do list and you're good to go.
Yep. So I've asked this of one other guest that we had, Beth Azor, which is known as being a really, really strong.
Love Beth.
Yeah. So she's just such a great personality. And I'll ask you the same question because I feel like you can add a lot of value here. But, you know, prospecting arguably is the most important part of our business. I mean, that's how we make money. Why is it always the last thing that a broker does, or it's the first thing that you put off? And I would love to hear from a coaching perspective for all those listeners out there. Is, you know, they may not be willing to admit it, but they're just, you know, they're scared to pick up their phone. They're scared to go network. They're, you know, there's just some sort of, you know, underlying pressure there to not go out and prospect and do what you should do. How do you coach people into being more efficient and change their mindset when it comes to prospecting?
Okay, 2 ways. Number one, first of all, everyone is different. They just are. Every client's different. Every person's different. So we do 2 things. Number one, we assess all our clients on natural behaviors. So there's 4 vectors in our assessment: assertiveness, sociability, calmness, and conformity or structure, right? Now, the 2 vectors that really matter most on prospecting tend to be, these are tendencies, guys, very important. They tend to be assertiveness, a level of assertiveness, and certainly a level of sociability. So, right? And there's no strong, weak, there's no good, bad. There's just high, low, right? A low social would be introverted. High social, which would be extroverted. So one thing we do is look at their natural behaviors, and we can see where we need to push and pull based on natural behaviors. People think it's fluff. It's not. Everyone's wired differently.
Sure.
Secondly, we have to look at, you know, what the issue is, what they're afraid of. And so a lot of role playing to get comfortable. And then more important than that, realistic goal setting, right? Don't sit there and go, I'm going to make, like my sales guys now understand they have automation to help them do this. but they make 1,000 calls a week, right? Now, am I going to, and they're working sales all day long. So I don't expect anyone to do that. But why would I tell someone starting out, I want you to make 100 calls a week? What's going to happen? First of all, they're not comfortable. They're going to fail. They're going to feel like they failed, and they're going to be demotivated to do it again. So why I say, hey, let's try to get one call in today. Let's do one call today. And then they do it and they go, yeah, that wasn't that bad. And then, you know, let's maybe two calls next week or three calls. The key is on goals. This is where a lot of folks fail. You got this whole idea of making a reach goal. Well, yeah, I get that. But if you're not comfortable, you're never going to forget it, right? If you're starting out, climb Mount Everest. Oh, you're from Florida? Okay. Good luck, right? No, we're not going to do that, right? So let's build winning streaks that we can attain and start small streaks and winning, get their confidence up. But yeah, a hell of a lot of role playing, because prospecting is relaying a message that can resonate with your avatar, your audience, that is all about them. It's not about you. It's all about them and the benefits they're going to get by working with you. That's what prospecting is. If you cannot articulate your value proposition, I think I mentioned that earlier in our P factor, by the way, right? If you can't articulate that value proposition, you're just not going to get anywhere. So craft the message that for your audience that will resonate, and then start small, build confidence, role play the hell of it, right? If you're not getting coached, role play with a colleague or a mentor, or yeah, find a friend who's in insurance or in sales in a similar industry, and just go out and get some beers and you know, don't get too many beers, but just role play with one another. And get off the best practices and get more comfortable. That's how you do it.
I mean, yeah, and I always say it's quality versus quantity. And I feel like that's so important. And we've had other guests that we've talked about where, you know, with technology being the way it is, you can blast out properties, which we see all the time. But, you know, is that the most effective way to prospect? The answer is no. You're better off doing more research on who you're calling on, having, you know, working with intention, going after a specific category, understanding who you're talking to, and it's just better quality, a higher tier of work. It's just a more effective way to prospect. So
yeah, I know we're getting short on time, but I will add, I did listen to Beth's podcast with you guys. I love Beth, and I sure wore red today just in honor of Beth. But you know, Beth did talk about rejection, which is obviously true, but most top producers, and NACL talks about this all the time, if you know your numbers, which is why we track numbers at the Massimo Group, if you know your numbers, you recognize that prospecting is a numbers game, because it truly is. For example, if you know in the market, let's say you know the market turns 2.5% a year, right? That investments, this is true, by the way, historically in New York, investments turn 2.5% a year, right? 2.5%. Now in your market, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
Then you could take that number, understand how many sales are going to happen in a year, understand how many listings will happen in a year, right? Understanding how many pitches you've got to go on to get the listings, to get the market share, and therefore how many calls it's an equation then. And so when Bob gets a no, and yeah, even Bob gets a no, he does, you know, it's you, but for him, it's a friendlier no, but he gets a no and he smiles and says, great, I'm closer to getting a listing. Great, great, great. Every time
you guys have reverse engineered that process.
Just reverse it and realize I'm closer to my goal and we're going forward.
Completely
agree. So, well, again, you know, I know we're running up on our time limit, unfortunately, because you're just so full of information and knowledge. So, I mean, what is the most effective way for people to get in contact with you or to find your program should they need coaching?
Yeah, and we actually have programs aside from coaching. We have actually a membership program now. If you want to access some of our content, not our coaching content, but our content and our scorecard and our pipeline and our technology, you can actually go and you just go to Massimo, M-A-S-S-I-M-O, you should go like that, Massimo. Go to massimo-group.com, massimo-group.com. All our information's there. You can learn about us. You can schedule a consult. We can talk to you, see if we're a fit for one another, which we'd love to help you move forward. So that's the number one way. And then I would do a, can I do a shameless plug here, guys? Can I do a shameless plug?
Please, please, please do.
Most excited about now is that after 11 years of focusing on commercial real estate and writing books in commercial real estate, I am in March going to release my new book. That's going to be called Don't Kid Yourself, KID, Knowing Isn't Doing. And that book will be out in March of 2020. And I'm just going to share a lot of stuff we do in the book itself, because I agree. You know, people ask me, why can you share your stuff? Because knowing isn't doing.
Yeah. Just miss it. Amen to that. That's such a true statement.
Well, yep. Please let us know what we can do to help that, when you get it out for pre-sale, because we want to launch that puppy up to the top, bestsellers list.
I'll definitely reach out to you guys. I appreciate all the help. We'll get some discounts for your listeners. And so that's what I'm more excited about. Then the Massimo Group, we know the best part, and you guys understand this, and it's just because you do this with your clients. You know, when you can transform someone's life, I got a voicemail yesterday from someone in one of the two states that are not continental US, put it that way. And he said to me, Rod, you know, after 13 years of being number two or number three, this year I was number one. I made over $1 million and you guys changed my life. It's not about me, definitely not, or our customers. If you can change someone's life, and this is the point to your listeners, we change lives. Not to sell Massimo coaching, you have to change your client's life. You've got to get them in a better position where they recognize, wow, I need you all the time. That's what you got to get to.
And you don't seem to me personally as a person that would be able to sell something you didn't believe in anyway. So the value's there. And I think the proof is in the pudding. I think your energy is contagious. And I'm looking forward to learning more.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for your generosity of including me in this amazing thing you have as a podcast. I think podcasting itself is an art. So I appreciate learning from you. And I just share with everyone else, don't forget, knowing isn't doing. Don't kid yourself. Commit to the process. You are professionals. Be a professional no matter what you're doing. And you got to do the work and be patient, and everything else is going to work out.
Well said. Well said. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And we'll put your contact information in the show notes. So
okay, gentlemen.
Again, thank you.
Thank you, Rod, very much.
Hey, listeners. Hope you enjoyed today's show with Rod. Obviously, a very, very, very experienced individual that can truly help transform and scale your business. So as always, if you would like to reach out to Rod directly, we will put his contact information in the show notes on our website, thecreproject.com. And again, ask if you found today's episode of value. Please share it with friends, family members, coworkers, etc. Certainly appreciate y'all spreading the word about this show. So until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Hey guys, what's going on? Today we hear from a absolutely exceptional individual that has built a company that now manages and owns over $1.3 billion worth of commercial real estate. Super pumped to have Brian Watson on the podcast joining us today. Brian is the founder and the CEO of North Star Commercial Partners, based out of Denver, Colorado, and also has an office in New York City as well. Within North Star, he manages the firm's overall business, new initiatives, investment strategies, and just overall pretty high caliber investment decisions. So, a little bit of background on Brian. He started his career in commercial real estate with Cushman & Wakefield. He stayed with them for about 7 years, focused both on landlord and tenant representation assignments, really throughout the entire nation. And then in 2000, he started North Star Commercial Partners, which is a well-known vertically integrated, multifaceted real estate company. So
In addition to building a real estate company, he has also authored two different books, Building and The Seven Rings. Both are exceptional books that just have a ton of valuable information for not only real estate, but life. So again, just a ton of valuable information packed into this show. Sit back, relax, buckle up. You are about to learn a lot.